Well, good morning, everybody. See, you guys are better at the start. That was pretty pathetic, actually. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah. See, that's much better. Now I can start the timer. So we're talking about camp. The last few Sundays, we've been pushing our clubs camp. We've got ball hockey camp, we got theater camp, and just because Pastor Greg is here, I have to let you know that our camp is not only better, but it's cheaper than the camp up the street. Just to let you know. Raise your hand if you have gone to camp as a volunteer, as a camp staff person, or as a volunteer, or as a camper. Pretty much everybody has had something to do with camp. Some people have two hands in the air. I guess they've gone twice. Camp is big for me. I spent at least 10 summers at summer camp. Not as a camper. Never went as a camper. I was always there as a staff member, as a counselor, and doing various positions. One of my early years, well, probably my second year at camp, a big storm started to come through. This camp that we were at was in Goderich, and this was just 2 or 3 years before a tornado had touched down and took out all of downtown Goderich. And this storm was looking pretty bad. There was tornado warnings. The rain was going to be heavy. It was not going to be a pleasant time with the campers. As campfire time rolled around, we decided we can't have it outside. We got to have campfire in the old lodge. And so that's what we did. As we're singing our songs and doing our silly skits and things, the storm moves in. And the rain starts pelting down. It's like someone is standing outside throwing rocks at the walls because that's how heavy the rain is. And the wind is roaring. It's knocking down some pretty hefty branches off the trees. It's really bad. We figure we can't stay in the old lodge. It's getting that bad. We got to bring all the kids down into the basement. The problem is the basement in the old lodge is not really a place you want to be. It's cold. It's damp. It's full of paint cans and different things. And it's where the rats and the mice go to hang out. Like, this is not pleasant, but this is our only option. We got to get the kids down there. The kids are screaming. They're flipping out. They're crying. The storm is directly over top of the camp. The rain comes. It always does. It rains in our lives, doesn't it? It rains a lot. So how do we work through the notion that we have a God who loves us and cherishes us, yet allows us to experience the storms of life? What do we do when life disappoints? It's like magic pops up on the screen. We've got basically three goals for today. Our first one is that we want to set up our conversation for Tuesday. All right, so today is sort of a two-thirds sermon. So the good news is you get about two-thirds of the length. Okay, but on Tuesday, we're going to revisit this topic. 7 o'clock at the Lighthouse Cafe, if you drink coffee or tea or like eating desserts, that's for you. Come on out, put it on your calendar. I'm going to not do as much talking, and you guys are. Okay, so we're going to do two-thirds to set us up for what we're going to do on Tuesday. But while we're all gathered today, there'd be no point. That'd be a really quick sermon if we just dismissed you. So we're going to have 2 points that we're looking at today, this morning. We want to look at building the right foundation to how to withstand the storms of life. So the right foundation. And the second point is we want to be having the right mindset when we face those. So let's just jump right into it. We're going to look at Jonah to start us off. Jonah is pretty well disappointed with what's going on in his life. He is pretty disappointed with his life circumstances. God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, right? But Jonah doesn't want to go. He's disappointed with that call, and so he rejects God's call. And Jonah decides that he's going to go where he wants to go. He decides he's going to run away from God's presence. So he hops on a boat, and he starts going in the opposite direction of where God called him to go. God sends a real storm, and it's looking really, really bad, and everybody else on the boat is kind of worried that they're not going to make it. And they decide that the only thing they can do is toss Jonah overboard to hopefully calm down the waters. After some humming and hawing, that's what they do. They throw Jonah overboard, and this is where things get a little bit messy for Jonah. As he splashes around in the water, he gets swallowed up by a great big fish. I think that would be a storm. Never been in a big fish, but I would assume that that is not something that you would like to experience. He tries to run away from God's presence. He endures the consequences for doing that, and he ends up in a great big fish. But eventually, Jonah does turn back to God. And after a couple days, the fish spits him back out, and again, God calls Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach to them. This time, Jonah listens, And he goes and he preaches. And something amazing happens. The people actually listen. I don't know what that's like. I'm kidding. But see, Jonah wasn't happy about that. He was still disappointed with life circumstances. He goes, he preaches, the people listen, they return to God, and he's still disappointed. Why? Because Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. He thought they were rude, crude, terrible people that didn't deserve the grace and forgiveness of God. And so he says in the book of Jonah that he would rather be dead than have the Ninevites turn back to God. He's disappointed. Jonah is disappointed with life. He's called to go to a place that he doesn't want to go, endures the consequences for running away, and gets angry that people actually listened to his preaching because he didn't want them to have God's grace. But really, we look at it, the source of Jonah's disappointment in his life is a failure to have his life built on the right foundation. Jonah isn't aligned with God's plans and God's will. God's plan is to restore creation, and God's desire is to call all of humanity, all of us, back into relationship with him. Jonah experienced disappointment because Jonah wanted to do what Jonah wanted to do, and not what God wanted Jonah to do. Jonah's foundation wasn't built right. Perhaps you have or you are experiencing disappointments because you too, like Jonah, are headed in the wrong direction when God has called you to go to Nineveh. You've heard me say this before, but if life as usual isn't producing fruit, then it's time to change life as usual. But for Jonah, he experienced disappointment with life because his foundation wasn't sound. Another example of this is Saul. Right, we've been looking at Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians through our Power and Weakness series, but before Saul changes his name and becomes Paul, before he becomes a Christian and has an encounter with the risen Jesus, he's kind of a grumpy, disappointed guy. In our house, we would call Saul a grumpy puss. He's disappointed that people are leaving the traditional Jewish faith because Saul, he's kind of a rock star in the Jewish faith. He's got everything down. He is the guy when it comes to the Jewish faith at this time. He's disappointed that people are leaving what he knows and what he values and going to follow this crazy Jesus guy. It drove him crazy. He hated this. In fact, in Acts 9:1, it says that he was so enraged that Paul would breathe out murderous threats against the Christians. He was disappointed with what the people in his community were doing. In fact, this leads almost to an obsession where he goes around traveling the countryside, rounding up men and women who follow Jesus to imprison them. He is disappointed with what's going on in his life because just like Jonah, Saul's foundation isn't right. Saul didn't understand the will of God. Saul didn't have any understanding or relationship with Jesus Christ. So again, perhaps you have or you are experiencing disappointments because like Saul, your energy and your time is focused on something that is completely counterproductive to what God would have planned for your life. So we know the rain comes. It always does. And things happen that we don't expect. So we got the kids, they're down in the basement, they're crying, they're kind of flipping out a little bit. The storm is real bad. But this is our best chance. We can't go outside, we can't go back upstairs. There's tornado warnings. This is terrible. Some of us that still have it together, we're singing camp songs and we're doing the chicken dance and things and kids are crying, but we think we can drown out enough of the storm and get through it. It's not going to be ideal, but we should be able to weather the storm here. Right. Then out of nowhere, the door to the basement swings open and a big burly Newfoundlander runs down the stairs. This is Garfield, our maintenance guy. And he screams out at the top of his lungs, "Don't touch anything or you're going to blow us all up." The rain comes, it always does, and things will happen that we don't expect. Having the right foundation, though, is what allows us to withstand those storms. So how do we get the right foundation? Luckily, this is one of those things that Jesus speaks about himself in Matthew 7:24-27. Oh, you guys are good back there today. It's right on the screen. If you prefer, though, I'll give you a second to flip it up, open on either your phones or your hard copy Bibles. I'm going to read it, but I'll have you guys follow along too. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person who built their house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who builds their house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it fell with a great crash. The wise person who hears the words of Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The person who takes those words, puts them into action and into practice, those are the people that are building their life on the rock. Those are the people that are building their life on the right foundation. So how do we actually do that? We're going to take just a couple of minutes and look at some practical steps of how we can do that. Some of these might seem really, really simple, and they are. They're simple, not necessarily easy. And some of them might be no-brainers, and that may be true. But I think we need to always be reminding ourselves about these things and evaluating ourselves on how we're doing. So, a couple things that we can do to build on the right foundation. If we're going to put the word into action and into practice, it would probably help if we knew what the word actually said. You want to build on the right foundation? Then you need to spend regular, consistent time reading your Bible. How are you doing with that? Are you spending regular, consistent, daily time reading your Bible? It's easy to say, I'm going to read my Bible. Yep, I'm going to do it. But it can actually be hard to do. The kids start fighting. Dinner's not ready. You got to work overtime. It's hard to do. And then when you eventually sit down and pick it up, where do you even start? Do you start in Genesis? Or do you start at the back? What do you do? It can be a pretty big challenge. Make a plan. Make a plan and get a resource to help. I think one of the best things that you can do to build on the right foundation by getting into the Word consistently and regularly is to invest in a devotional guide, something that's going to help you get into the Word regularly and start thinking and processing what it says. I use one every day. I stole one from Pastor John a couple months ago, and that's what I use in the mornings. Because in the morning, I don't know what's going on until I've had at least 3 cups of coffee. I'm not getting in. So I read from the devotional guide. That's what gets things going for me. It's a great point to get you into the Bible. So if you don't have one, check out the library after the service. If there's not one in there, that's going to do it. Leave your name at the info desk. We will get you one. This is important. You need to be spending regular, consistent time in the Word of God. If you do not have a devotional guide, get one. If you can't get one, let us know, and we will get one for you. Is Ron around? That might impact the budget, but that's okay. Now, there's all sorts of different devotionals that are going to work. There's devotionals for police officers, for teachers, for teenagers, all different kinds. So make sure you get one that's going to work for you. Because if we're going to build on the right foundation, if we're going to build our lives on the rock, we need to know what the Word says. Regularly and consistently engaging in the Word is what we need to do. The second thing is that, yes, we need to get into the Word, but we need to get into community. You need to be consistently reading the Bible on your own, but you need to be engaged in community. We need that. We need to encourage each other. We need to build each other up, and we need to consistently and regularly meet together. Sunday mornings are awesome, yes, but there's so much more to the Christian life and to Christian community than Sunday mornings. You know, there's a number of prayer times throughout the week that happen here at Byron Community Church. And I'm not sure about the exact number, but there's at least 4 or 5 different small groups or study groups that meet. If you are not part of a small group and you call Byron Community Church your home, you need to be part of one. It's that simple. I mean, you don't have to. I can't make you do anything. If I could, we'd have a lot more volunteers for things. But if you want to build your life on the rock, if you want to build your life on the right foundation, then you need to be part of a small group. If you're not, info desk. All right, they're going to connect you with small group people in your neighborhood with different topics and different things because it's important. We need to get into the Word regularly and consistently, and we need to engage in community together regularly and consistently. Same thing goes. If you're visiting from another church, maybe you're listening on the podcast, and you call another church your home, that's awesome. I'm sure you got a great church family there. You need to be engaged in a small group there too. Okay, wherever your church home is, you need to be in a small group because that's how we build on the right foundation. ultimately, I mean, we could keep talking about this, but ultimately, having the right foundation comes down to one thing. Be faithful. Are you loving when you need to love? Are you forgiving when you need to forgive? Are you praying when you need to pray? Are you sharing your faith when you need to be sharing your faith? Want the right foundation for your life? Be faithful. Be faithful to Jesus and be faithful to his word. Get into the word, get into community, and engage. Simple. Not easy, but simple. But here's the thing. Even the wise builder, as it says behind me, even the wise builder who builds on the rock has the right foundation, doesn't get a pass from the storms. They still experience the storms of life. Right now, I think there's so much junk Christianity out there that kind of mess with the Christian mindset. There's this idea that if you turn to Jesus, your life will be amazing and wonderful, and nothing bad will ever happen to you ever again. Jesus wants you to have that new Ford pickup truck. And if you make this free will offering of the suggested amount of $19.95 by phoning this number, God's going to bless you. Or if you buy this water that has been blessed by Himalayan monks and sprinkle it on your bills will disappear. It's like a magic trick. It's easy to poke fun at these sort of Christian infomercials. The problem is, though, that kind of thinking, that kind of mindset seeps in to our Christian community. And it certainly seeps in to the perception of the Christian community. It's that idea that, you know, maybe if I had a stronger relationship with God, or maybe if I did this more or did this less, then things would be better for me. I shouldn't struggle with anything because I'm a Christian. I shouldn't ever feel lonely or depressed or angry or lost or confused ever because I'm a Christian and God loves me and everything is supposed to be great all the time. But that's not right. That isn't the right mindset because that's not what God tells us life will be like. It's the very opposite. The rain will come and the tears will fall because in this life you will have trouble. Even with the right foundation, life as a Christian can be hard because the rain always comes. We can look at Paul. We looked at Saul earlier, but when Saul becomes Paul, now he's armed with the right foundation, he's encountered the risen Jesus, and yet he still experiences disappointments with life. I'm sure you remember back in January, Pastor John's sermon, Forgiveness Mathematics, right? Everybody remembers that? Everybody's nodding? Okay. One person. But he did tell us about Paul's painful visit, right? And the severe letter. Basically, Paul visits Corinth, and he's the guy. He's their leader of the early church there. And there's some shady business going on, and so Paul goes to try and correct what's going on in Corinth. And as he does, one of the elders there basically steps up and rips a strip off of Paul. They're not having any of it. They're not happy with Paul, and they just dig into him. And nobody stands up for Paul. He's hurt. He feels completely rejected and humiliated by his own people. Paul still experienced life's disappointments, and he still had to endure the storms. Joseph, I think, is a perfect Old Testament example of this. His brothers sell him into slavery. I think that would qualify as a storm. But the Lord is still with Joseph, and Joseph is still with the Lord. Joseph ends up as a servant at a man named Potiphar's house, right? And as Potiphar goes out about his business, Potiphar's wife begins making advances towards Joseph. Would have been easy to cave, but Joseph sticks to his guns. He's built on the right foundation. He's going to refuse her propositions every single day because he will not sin against the Lord. Joseph, good man of God, built on the right foundation. Things should go well for him, right? Doesn't. He did the right thing, but Potiphar's wife cooks up this story anyways, and Joseph ends up in prison, even though he didn't do anything wrong. Now listen, there's a whole lot more to the story of Joseph. If you're not familiar with it, pick it up later today, Genesis 40. See how things work out for Joseph. But for our purposes today, we can see that the storms still come in Joseph's life. Even though he's built on the right foundation, he sticks with God. Bad things still happen to him. The storms come. Even when we have the right foundation, the storms still come and life can still disappoint. So why is it that we can have the right foundation and be loved by God, and yet still God allows us to experience life's disappointments? You might think, you know, I love God and God loves me, but if God really cared, how could he allow this to happen to me? I mean, that's one of the number one arguments that people of the world will say why they don't believe in God. If God really existed, that bad stuff wouldn't have happened. If God really existed, that suffering that I experienced would never have happened, so God can't exist. But we have this tendency to hurl this accusation at God, how could you allow this to happen? As if God hasn't suffered or seen disappointment. We can look back to Genesis, at the creation account. When God creates humanity with the freedom to choose to obey or to rebel, that freedom brings with it the potential that God may suffer. And when Adam and Eve do rebel, and they reject God, and they hide away from God's presence, that potential is realized. And God suffers. In Genesis 3, we see a God who is in anguish in relation to God's beautiful and cherished creation. God suffered too. Of course, the easy example as we get closer to Easter is Christ. In this life, you will have trouble, Jesus tells us, and certainly Jesus knew a thing or two about life's disappointment. Members of his immediate family reject him. They're humiliated by him. They think he's crazy. They even go to pick him up to get him to stop preaching. Jesus, you're messing up the family name. Nobody's coming to the carpentry shop because everyone thinks you're a nut job. Stop it. Members of Jesus' own family initially reject him. One of Jesus' best friends stabs him in the back. And at his absolute lowest point, pretty well all of his friends, when he needs them the most, they flee from him. And some even deny even having known him. God hasn't suffered. God hasn't seen life's disappointments. No, God has suffered. God has seen disappointments. And that's why God can tell us that in this life, you will have trouble. Friends may hurt you. Families may fight, and they will. Everything you know could change in the blink of an eye. It will rain in your life, and you will have trouble. If that was the end of the sermon and the end of everything, that would be pretty depressing, and I would be pretty disappointed with that. Fortunately, and really, there's no other way to describe this. There is a really, really big but at the end of this. But take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. So we got the kids in the basement, the rain's pelting down, branches are flying everywhere, the storm's intensifying, and now thanks to Garfield coming out of nowhere, even the kids' screams and tears are intensifying too. It's brutal. We figure we can't stay here. We need some place where the kids can lay down and try and sleep, and we're not going to be able to do it in this damp, dark, rat-infested basement. Our best chance is we got to get the kids and the staff out of this basement, across the field, and into the conference center. That's our best bet. We're not going to make it if we stay here. Some of these kids, though, you guys that have worked at camp, you know, they're tiny. Tiny little things, some of them. And they're so scared that they can't even move. But they can't stay there. So you got to pick them up. We had to pick them up and hold them close as we went up the stairs and out of the old lodge, out into the field, across the field in the conference center. You had to hold them close to you and whisper, it's going to be okay. We're going to make it. It's going to be okay. You will have trouble in this life. It will rain because the storms always come. But through every storm, God is there holding you close, whispering, it's going to be okay. We're going to make it. God loves you very much. If you haven't heard a thing that I've said all morning, because I know some of you have been asleep, it's okay, I see you. You hear this. God loves you very much. You matter to God. Everybody say that. I matter to God. God will not leave you. As we've been singing about, God will not forsake you. Right here this morning at Byron Community Church, God's presence is with us. Maybe you're listening to this on the podcast while you're walking your dog or you're out at the gym. God's presence is with you. It's a constant reminder that we need. It's the mindset that we need to have. God is for us and God is with us. God is for us and God is with us. Even in the storms, even when nothing seems to be going right, God is with us and God is for us. In Deuteronomy 1, the Israelites, they're really disappointed with life's circumstances. They're really afraid and they're starting to complain and bellyache. The enemy that they're up against is stronger than they are. The enemy they're up against is bigger and taller than they are, and they have no idea what to do. The cities that they're up against are huge, and it says that the towers go all the way up to the sky. They're facing a major obstacle, a major storm in life, and they've lost all heart and all confidence. God has to remind them that He is indeed for them and that He is with them. God talks to the Israelites and He says, guys, don't you remember all that time in the desert? All that time that you spent wandering in the wilderness, facing the different storms of life? I was there. Every step in the wilderness, I was there. And He says in Deuteronomy 1:31, I was there and I carried you close like a father carries a son. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it. We need to build on the right foundation. We need to regularly and consistently engage with the Bible. We need to regularly and consistently engage in Christian community. That's how we get the right foundation. If we're going to have the right mindset, it's simply this. We need to recognize that the rain will come. It always does. But God is with you and God is for you. And when the storms come, seems like nothing's going right and the winds are raging, God holding you close like a father carries a son. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it. I want to invite the worship team back up. I told you we were going to be short today. Our conversation isn't over. 7 o'clock on Tuesday, we're going to pick this up. I will stop talking and you will start talking. We're going to talk more about when life disappoints, this idea about having the right foundation and the right mindset, and we're going to revisit when life disappoints, 7 o'clock, right out there at the Lighthouse Cafe. And so I invite you all to join us as we continue our discussion on when life disappoints.
Please stand with us.
I am guilty, ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Been hiding, afraid I've let you down. Inside I doubt that you still love me. But in your eyes there's only grace now. You plead my cause, you right my wrong. can it be? Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing remains. Love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. And on and on and on and on it goes. I never ever have to be afraid. One thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My death is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me, your love. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me, your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love.
Never fails. Never fails. As you go off and face another week, may you know that God is with you and God is for you. Go in peace now to love and serve the Lord.
Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, and never runs out on me, your love.
One more time.
Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me, your love.
Amen. You may be dismissed. May God bless you this week.